Warning, Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome back to Check the Locks podcast. As always, I'm John Connor saying thank you for joining us this week as we dive into yet another truly terrifying true crime case. Before we get started, again, you may notice it is just me coming at you this Monday. Olivia is still traveling. Unfortunately, we thought we would be able to get one in for the Monday release, but she will be back with us for Wednesday. So thank you for your patience. You know, summer is a time of travel and vacation and things like that. And as it's winding down, the kids are getting ready to go back to school and things like that. You know, we did not want to miss any of those episodes, wanted to make sure we were still putting stuff out there. So appreciate you dealing with just me. I know a lot of people listen because they like, you know, me and Olivia. So I'm sorry that you're only getting 50% of the host, but I promise you, you're getting 100% of the effort. So thank you so much for hanging in there. This week, I am super excited to break this case down. I am really hoping that you'll enjoy it as well. If you've listened to this podcast for any amount of time, you will know one thing about me, and that is that I love when a good cold case is solved, and that is exactly what we are going to be talking about this week. So this case took almost 30 years to finally get closed, and very, very recently, there's been a very big update on it. So super excited to break that down and get into it. But before that, I just want to say thank you for hanging out with me. Thank you for tuning in. I hope that you have had a wonderful week and a great weekend. You know, like I said, summer is wrapping up. Kids are getting back to school if they're not already. So I know if you're a parent like me, you're excited for that little bit of a break. So again, just hope you are doing well. And with that being said, Olivia is not here with me. So I'm going to quit that gabby-gabby, get to the stabby-stabby. Let's break this one down. For this week's case, we're going back 30 years to a small town in Western Illinois called Moline, where a child's disappearance has haunted the community for decades. Trudy Appleby was 11 years old. She was friendly, outgoing, loving, and very bright. She was excited about school starting, but was enjoying spending the summer with her friends. And in August of 1996, she wanted to do what lots of kids like to do in the summer, go swimming. Trudy asked her father, Dennis, if she could go with a friend who lived on nearby Campbell's Island, but her dad told her no. But, like lots of kids, Trudy decided she wasn't going to miss the opportunity. So on August 21st, after Dennis left for work at 9 a.m., Trudy left the family's home to spend the day beating the heat. Between 9:30 and 10:30 a.m., Trudy was seen getting into an unidentified gray vehicle driven by an unknown man. The driver would be described as Caucasian and in his 20s. He had long, curly, dark hair covered by a baseball cap. It would be the last time that anyone would see Trudy Appleby. When Dennis arrived home to find his daughter missing, he immediately called the police. But investigators initially treated Trudy's disappearance as a runaway, believing that the child had left of her own free will. However, during the investigation, they learned that Trudy had taken a bathing suit and a towel with her. She had also left behind $200 at home, money that Trudy was saving for an upcoming vacation. Had she actually run away, she would have taken that money with her. So because of this, detectives now realized that they were working an abduction case. Trudy's family believed that she must have known her kidnapper. Their home was located off the main road and was not visible from the street, so whoever took her would have known the area. Investigators worked the case, but with few leads, the trail would eventually grow cold. But the Applebys and the community wouldn't let people forget. Every year, a vigil was held on August 21st, not only to remember Trudy, but to bring attention to her case. And it would be years before detectives finally caught a break, when a witness named David Whipple finally came forward. Whipple told police that he had seen Trudy on the day of her disappearance, riding in the passenger seat of a gray four-door Chevrolet near his home on Campbell's Island. The driver was a man that Whipple recognized, a man named William Ed Smith. Trudy would have known Smith as he was friends with her father, Dennis. And when asked why he hadn't come forward sooner, Whipple claimed that Smith had threatened him. Investigators would also learn that Smith had scrapped the car about a week after Trudy's disappearance. So in August of 2017, 11 years after Trudy went missing, it was announced that William Ed Smith was a person of interest in Trudy's case. But unfortunately, Smith had passed away 3 years prior in December of 2014. However, police didn't think that Smith acted alone, so they continued to work the case relentlessly. And in 2019, they were able to locate a boat owned by Smith in Dubuque, Iowa. That boat was taken into custody and tested for potential DNA. Then, in August of 2020, two other men were listed as person of interest. One of these men was David Whipple. At the time of Trudy's disappearance, Whipple was Smith's son-in-law, and he and his family actually lived across the street from Smith. Not only that, but Trudy was friends with his children, and it didn't help that he had completely stopped working with the police at some point. The other man was named Jameson Fisher. Fisher was 22 years old in 1996, and he was a longtime friend of the Smiths. Investigators believe that both men either participated in or helped to cover up what actually happened to Trudy. The work on the case continued, and David Whipple would pass away in 2022. Now, with two of the three primary suspects buried in the ground, no one knew if there would ever be answers for what happened to Trudy. But on August 14th, 2025, just a few days ago, an arrest was finally made. The now 50-year-old Jameson Fisher has been charged with three counts of first-degree murder and one count of concealment of a homicidal death. Fisher is accused of kidnapping and strangling Trudy Appleby to death. Now, he was already in custody in Iowa on unrelated charges when he was arrested after the indictment. He will remain in jail in Iowa pending the court proceedings in Illinois. Now, as frustrating as it is, at this point, the indictment is sealed, so we don't exactly know what evidence investigators discovered that led to the arrest and these specific charges. But they must have something. And while Trudy's family and friends are happy that there have finally been charges filed, there's still one question that they need answers to. Where are Trudy's remains? They hope to find that answer and finally give their loved one the burial that she deserves. So that's this week's case. And again, like I mentioned at the top, there's just something so satisfying about this case being open for almost 30 years and it finally being closed. And, you know, just to kind of jump into how it got me feeling when I was doing the research and any of my final thoughts on it. I mean, this is every parent's worst nightmare. You know, you go to work and you come home and your child is just missing and you know something's not right and you go to the police and the police say, oh, they probably just ran away, you know. And so you know that there's something just terribly, terribly wrong happening and the authorities aren't taking it seriously at the time. And it's just got to be so, so frightening to be in that situation as a parent. And then to think that that feeling, that situation of just not knowing what happened or where your child is can last for almost 30 years is just absolutely terrifying to me. And so, you know, I am so glad that even though two of the people who are suspected of being involved in this case have passed away, that someone is being held accountable. And I am very interested, again, just to find out what is going on, what evidence the investigators have. Because again, this is a sealed indictment, right? So we can't definitively say, you know, hey, this source is telling us that there was DNA or anything of that nature. But I have a feeling that they found something that is linking Fisher to this. And I am definitely going to be keeping my eye on this and coming back with any kind of updates or anything of that nature, because I want to know what is happening. I want to know what it is that, and most importantly, I want to know if they are able to locate Trudy's remains. Because I can imagine as a friend, as a parent, as a relative, you know, all you want to do is be able to give the person that you loved a proper burial. And I truly, truly hope that the Applebees and their family and Trudy's friends, you know, get the opportunity to do that. I was looking at an article where, you know, it was Trudy's best friend at the time, who is now 50 years old. And, you know, that's the only thing that she wants. She has kids of her own. And she has talked about, you know, how you have to be aware that there are real monsters out there, because she lost her friend to, you know, not just one, but potentially three, you know. So as this case continues to evolve, I definitely want to make sure that we're keeping an eye on it. We're coming back with any updates or anything like that. But if we're jumping into the deadbolt test, like I said, as a parent, this is absolutely terrifying. I'm going to be putting this at a 10 for sure. You know, I know the world that we live in now is a lot different. In 1996, you know, I would have been 11 years old too. You know, I was born in 85. So Trudy could have very well been me. I was allowed to kind of go wherever I wanted. You know, I just leave the house and come back when the streetlights are on, you know, so it's a different time. And I know, you know, for most parents, things don't really operate the same way, but it's still just terrifying that your child could be, you know, on the sidewalk one moment and then gone the next. So for me, I'm putting this at a 10, but as always, I want to hear from you, the listeners, the locksmiths. Where does the disappearance of Trudy Appleby fall on your deadbolt test? You can let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram at Check the Locks Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Check the Locks. And if you're not in our Facebook group, what the heck are you doing? Come hang out with us. We would love the opportunity to get to know you, spend a little time with you, and just have you be part of the best place on the internet. So come check out that Facebook group. We would absolutely love to have you. And as always, if you like what we do, you want to help financially support the show, you can do so by becoming a patron. Head over to patreon.com/checkthelocks and get signed up today. We got a lot of great tiers, exclusive benefits, stickers, coffee mugs, stuff like that. But you get the episodes commercial free. So if you love Check the Locks, but you hate those ads, Patreon is the way to go. So again, if you want to help us out, if you're able to do that, that's patreon.com/checkthelocks and get signed up today. And if you can't financially support the show, we definitely understand. Just listening, hanging out with us, sharing what we do with your friends, your family, the people who are important to you, that means just as much, if not more. So if you are listening to this and sharing it in any way, just know we appreciate you so much. Again, it's all about that grassroots growth and getting people to check it out. And again, you know, when you tell somebody to listen to something, they're more apt to do it. So again, just know from the bottom of our hearts, we appreciate any support that you're giving us. That's all that we have for this week's case. Again, Olivia will be back with us on Monday, but make sure that you're subscribed to Check the Locks in your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. We'll see you again next week with another truly terrifying true crime case. But until then, don't forget to check those locks. Stay safe out there.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.